My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network, back with a brand new episode. We're going to be chatting to Ella on this episode. She's just back from Disney World, her first trip with her partner. Make or break, you never know. We'll chat to Ella soon. Also some news, updates about Soarin' and Ratatouille. And also we've got your questions as well at Pod Magical. If you want to get in touch, if you want to be a podcast guest, or if you've got a question, make sure you're following us between now and the next episode in a couple of weeks' time. There'll be loads of stuff on there. But I have still been getting questions since the last episode where I was kind of rounding up my six castles trips from the year. Firstly, let me go to Rosie's question, who wanted to know any advice on where to stay in Disneyland in Anaheim. My advice, if you're going to Anaheim, I wouldn't, unless you've got the money, I wouldn't stay at a Disneyland hotel, because from January, there's not really any perks. It doesn't open early for resort guests. And Disneyland in Anaheim, it's a bit like International Drive. So imagine International Drive, and then the two Disney parks are just on there. If you have a look, if you go into Google Maps and have a look where Disneyland is, you'll see it's kind of like in a block, and there's loads of streets literally around it with Best Westerns and things on that you could literally just walk to. In fact, some of the hotels in Anaheim are near than the one of the official car parks for Disneyland. So don't go spending your money at an official Disney hotel, because you're not really getting anything from it. Unless you want to, of course, if you want to be in the bubble, please do. Thank you for that question. And then the other question that I kind of referred to on the last episode, where I was asked if I'd been to Epic Universe, or what I thought about Epic if I'd been. Right, okay. Yes, I did go to Epic Universe. I had a day at the brand new Universal theme park, and I liked it. I didn't love it. I liked it. I think it's got a lot of potential. Now, the problem is, firstly, I'm a Disney guy. Okay. And secondly, I'd watched quite a few vlogs. So I hadn't got any spoilers for any of the attractions. But all the vlogs that I've watched, people were going in there saying it's the greatest theme park they've ever been to. People going in there crying. I think there was a lot of overreactions on some of the vloggers that I'd watched. No offense. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. But when I got there, things that I loved, I walked in and the Celestial Park, which is kind of like the big entrance park, it was beautiful. There's a lot of space there. There's a lot of greenery and water features, plenty places to eat, which I think might be a little bit of a downfall. But the way they've designed that Celestial Park, if Epcot was a bit more like this when they redid Epcot, maybe they could have learned a thing. Celestial Park was fantastic. And then the four portals. There's only four portals to walk into. Again, the design of each of the areas was really 21st century theme park. This is the newest theme park we've had for ages, especially in Florida. And when you're walking into Paris, I mean, you really are walking into Paris. The detail and the expense and the effort they are put in is next level. It's really 21st century theme park design when it comes to the lands. Again, Dark Universe and the How to Train Your Dragon and Nintendo Land, all fantastic. There's so much to see. There's a lot going on. So that wins points. Character meets win points. I met Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon. You've got to rope drop that, because it's quite a detailed character meet. So Disney have got a lot to learn from character meets. Time consuming, and it means the queue may not look long, but the experience is fantastic. I didn't get to meet Donkey Kong, but I saw him come out for his meet. He was brilliant. So yeah, the design of the lands and character meets are fantastic. Where I think it lets it down, I don't think there's enough to do yet, but that's because it's still a new park. Obviously, there's room for growth and potential. If they built a Wicked portal in there with a couple of more attractions, that would be great. I just didn't think there was enough to do. There was a lot of places to eat. Like I was saying, Celestial Park was big, and that's quite spacious, and a lot of places to eat. But a lot of places I went in, there wasn't a lot of people in there, which it just felt a little bit soulless in there. So like, there's a lot of places to spend your money, but then when it came into the actual portals, there wasn't a lot to do. Like the Harry Potter one, there's only the one attraction. The show's incredible, by the way. Oh, you do go and see the shows, but don't get any spoilers about the shows, because once you know what happens in the shows, that takes a lot of it. So even though I love the shows, again, they were groundbreaking, but I wouldn't do them again, because the best part of the shows is being surprised. So no spoilers if you haven't been to Epic Universe yet about the shows. The other thing that let me down, some of the attractions are really short. I went on the Werewolf roller coaster, which I was about 45 minutes into it, and I thought, you know, this could be one of the best roller coasters I've ever been on. But after 45 seconds to a minute, it actually was the end. I was there going, oh, this is going to be brilliant. It's got to go backwards or something. And I, no, that's the end. And when you've queued over an hour for something that's like a minute long, this is a bit disappointing. Same for the Donkey Kong. I just didn't think it was very long. And I thought the monsters and the Harry Potter attractions, they're the two big ones. I didn't get to go on Stardust Races, the huge roller coaster at Celestial Park, for obvious reasons, which I completely understand. So from the monsters and the Harry Potter, both queues are phenomenal. I thought with the Harry Potter, some of the animatronics were awful. Dame Imelda Staunton, they did you dirty on those animatronics, because they're really, you know, this is a modern theme park. You should have taken, I think the Harry Potter attractions in the other two parks are better than this attraction. They really haven't pushed what I'm getting from the experience from the attraction. There wasn't an attraction where I went on and went, God, immediately I've got to do that again. Because I don't want to wait 3 hours to go on the Harry Potter one again. Yeah, the Monsters one was brilliant. And then some points in the attraction, I could see how the ride was moving and how it was working. I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to on the Monsters one. But yeah, the Monsters one, the Harry Potter one, they are incredible. But I really wish they would have just pushed it a little bit further. I think if this was Disney, people would have critiqued that a lot tougher than they did with Universal. I think people are much tougher on Disney, and I think maybe that's why Disney take a little bit longer building things. But there you go, they're my thoughts. Would I go back? Yes, I would. I wouldn't rush back. If there was new attractions or a new portal, a Wicked portal would be brilliant, then I would go back. There's just not enough to do. That was my thoughts on Epic. So I didn't hate it, I liked it, didn't love it. Any questions before we chat to our guest, do give me a shout at PodMagical. Let's welcome Ella to the podcast. Welcome along.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's good. It's always nice to chat to people who love Walt Disney World, like we all do. But what is it that you love about Walt Disney World, Ella?
I think other than obviously, you know, the usual what everyone says about the escapism and the attention to detail and how immersive it is, I think for me, it's also that I really grew up on Disney. So, you know, Disney Channel was every day after school. We used to go to Disneyland Paris every year when I was younger. So Disney's just always been there my whole life. So I think for me, it is huge on the nostalgia. But also, I think why I really love Walt Disney World in particular is, I've been thinking about this really deeply since you sent me the question. Like, why do I love this place? And I actually think it's down to Walt Disney himself. I think I just love Walt Disney, and I think that man was and just is such an inspiration. And I would honestly say that he's one of my idols.
Yeah.
And, you know, if, you know, to people listening, if you don't know much about the history of Disney, it's really something I would recommend reading into or watching documentaries on, because it just fascinates me how he came from nothing and his determination to succeed. I just think is, you know, it's amazing. The imagination in this one man's brain and how he can come up with all his ideas and how he just believed in them every step of the way, even when he, you know, got knocked back and, you know, all the failures and everything, he kept going. And I think, you know, the same with his brother Roy, and I think the whole story of it and the, you know, the, like the love that these two brothers must have had for each other, I think it's just such a special story. This time, the last trip that we done to Walt Disney World, we actually done the Keys to the Kingdom tour.
Yeah,
and they obviously have you. I think you've done it, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. Did you cry?
Oh yes, I did cry. And no one else was crying, and I was thinking, oh gosh, is everyone thinking I'm a bit mad? But I just, yeah, the lady who took us on our tour was called Jenny, and she had the voice of a princess. I could have listened to her all day. But she told the story about Walt and how it started and, you know, how obviously, sadly, he passed away before, you know, it came to life. But Roy, his brother, basically lived out the last years of his life, ensuring that his brother's dream became a reality. And I just think, you know, the whole story is just so special. And that's what I'm saying. As you go through the parks and, you know, all these little details that they've, you know, made for Walt Disney and Roy Disney, I just think it's just so special. And there's, you know, the values that he set all these years ago, but they're still carried through now with all the people who work for Disney now, all the cast members, all the Imagineers. I just think, I just love like the whole deeper meaning to it. I get very deep in my feels when I'm there.
You could write a thesis on this.
Yeah. And I just think I'm just so into it, you know?
Can you remember how old you were? Because you say you used to go to Disneyland Paris quite a few times. How old were you when you first went to Disneyland Paris?
I think I was 4 when I first went to Disneyland Paris.
Yeah. So you've known, like, you've not known anything else. You've literally been brought up on Disney.
No, yeah. And that's what we was talking about the other day as well, that I think we, you know, we are seeing the generations now that Disney has been there their whole lives. And that's, I think that makes it so much more special to us.
Yeah, because it's over 100 years old now, the company, so there aren't many people alive that weren't around. Like, everybody's, yes, like, had Disney as part of their entire lives. It's just been here for most of the population now.
Yeah, exactly. And like I say, like, you know, it was every day after school, you'd come home, you'd put Disney Channel on, and that was it. And it's just, obviously, yeah, the films have been there forever, but I think it's just, it's always been in your home, you know. It's just, it's almost like kind of reassuring in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a safety blanket, a bit of security blanket. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you've just come back from Disney World this summer, but what do you remember about the first time you went to Florida, to Walt Disney World? When was that?
So the first time I went to Disney World was in 2012, and it was literally just me and my mum. So we went for, I think we actually done 10 days, and then we flew to LA, but we didn't go to the LA park.
No, so close.
I know. So, so the first time in Disney World was 2012, and I have a terrible memory anyway, sadly. So I don't remember too much, but I do really remember Epcot. That was our first park that I ever went into. And I remember that they had Duffy the Bear was really big at the time. I remember
Duffy the Bear was there when you went for the first time.
Yes. Yeah. He, as you walked in, you went obviously under the ball, and then in front of World Showcase, there was a huge Duffy stall, and Duffy the Bear was actually there. And I bought my first Duffy then.
Oh, right. Okay. He's massive. Him, Duffy and Friends are massive in, like, the Eastern parks now. I know he's come back to California, but he didn't really hit it off over there. But you fell in love with Duffy in 2012.
Yeah, and so I was quite surprised, actually, that he wasn't so big there, to be honest, because it was, I don't know the history on Duffy, but I don't know if he had just come over to Florida then or what, but it was a really big deal then, because they had, even each country had a Duffy the Bear colouring station. And obviously I was much younger. I was, how old was I? Was it 12 or 13? And I was like, right, we've got to do, I've actually still got them all in the loft, and it was a cardboard cutout of Duffy on a stick,
right?
And you'd go to each country, color in Duffy, and then the cast member there would stamp it with the country flag.
You know, so, I want to see these pictures. I want to see,
oh my
see
God,
them.
I will have to get them down from the loft, because they're, I honestly, I think they're, you know, a little bit worn, but I was like, we have to go home with every single Duffy.
Yeah. Because Duffy didn't really take off in America in 2012. I think the whole idea behind Duffy is Mickey Mouse's teddy bear that Minnie made for him when he was going out to sea,
right.
I think is a story.
Oh.
I think behind that, I think it was something to do with Build-A-Bear. When the Build-A-Bear workshops were starting to take off in America, I think they kind of tried to get in that. So I think that's where the business side of Duffy came in. But
that
he didn't really
sense.
Take off in America.
No.
But he did in the eastern parts where he's massive.
Yeah, that's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah. So you remember, the first thing you remember about Disney World is Epcot and Duffy the Bear.
Yeah, and also the Agent P mission. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yes. I remember having the flip phone. Phineas and Ferb was huge at the time. Me and my cousins used to watch that every day, and we used to rehearse the lyrics to the theme tune. So when I got there and I saw Perry the Platypus, I was like, wow, this is my life made. We got the flip phone and we went around and we done all the missions. Those are the two things that I really remember from that first trip.
Do you have a particular, of all the times you've been now, a particular favourite memory?
Now, I think this is actually so hard because obviously I have so many favourite memories. But I think I would actually have to go with a memory that was from our latest trip. So I think it would have to be the day we went to the Beacon Barrel.
And this you got in. Well done.
Yes, we sat up until I think it was 12:15 on that final day that they finally released.
Yeah.
Tickets. That was hardship, but no, we got it. We was really lucky with that, and it was the 1st of September, our reservation, so it was like I think it was the week of opening. And I've heard real mixed reviews, which I'm really surprised at.
Mm-hmm.
But we had just the best time and just the best day, and I don't know if it's because we'd had a few drinks or what. But we went into Bean Barrel and the atmosphere was great. We were sat right in the middle, so we were in the centre of it all, and our server, I'm sure his name was Jonathan, I'd done him a cast compliment because he was so good. He really just went above and beyond, and you know when you just come away like that was such a good experience.
Yeah.
And straight from there we were going over to I think we were heading over to Tron, but as we were going through Tomorrowland, they had, I don't know if it was just set up for the summer because I don't remember them being there before, but they're a huge stage area set up with a DJ on, and they were playing ABBA, and love ABBA, and obviously we'd come straight from the Beacon Barrel, had a few drinks, come through, ABBA was playing, and we must have spent about an hour just dancing in Tomorrowland. And you know when you're just like, this is so, we're just enjoying the atmosphere.
Yeah.
We're not even on a ride. We're not, you know, doing anything major. We're literally just taking up the vibes of Disney. And it was just such a good day. And it was just me and my partner, Nat. And it just, you know, when you're just like, this is just so good. We're just having such a good time.
Yeah. And I think that was part of Cool Kids Summer, wasn't it?
They're doing it again next year. Yeah.
So Beacon Barrel, what did you have? What drinks did you have? Because I only had one beer when I went.
Oh, really?
I went for the cheapest thing.
I love that, Andy. We went for the Royal Rum Punch. So we both had two cocktails each.
Okay.
The first one I had, I really should have got the names up, was I'm sure it was it a gin one or something? But the first cocktail I had, it was awful. I hated it.
Oh, what was in that one? Because they're mostly rum, aren't they? There is a gin one. It's called the London something.
I had the Lit Fuse first.
Right, okay.
And it's got a real mix of things in it. It's got coconut water, a Hella cocktail code, don't know what that is, smoked chili bitters. Now, this is the bit that I think ruined it. It literally tasted like smoke. You drank this
like
cocktail.
An ashtray.
Yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't drink this. But obviously they're so expensive, aren't they? So
yeah.
I did ask again. We had such a good server. And I just said, I'm really sorry, but I really don't like this cocktail. And Nat tried it as well. My other half tried it. And she was like, no, like, I can't drink that. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is such a waste of money. So I just was really honest with him. And I just said, you know, I really don't like this. Neither of us are going to drink it. Is there any way that I could, you know, send it back and change my cocktail? And he was like, yeah, of course you can. So I was like, oh my goodness, thank you. So he actually recommended the next cocktail, which was the Port of Call. And that is a dry gin, ruby port, lemon juice and spiced cranberry. And how he described it to us was that it will taste like Christmas in your mouth. Okay. And I'm a huge Christmas fan. So I was like, right, yep, let's go for that. And he was spot on. It did taste like pure Christmas. So I would totally recommend the Port of Call to anyone. Nat had the hibiscus rum punch royale. That was sweeter than the Port of Call. That was really good. And we also tried the, there's like a selection, Island Provisions, that's it. Island Provisions, which is basically like chips and breads and dips and things. They were really good as well.
Did you feel rushed? Because it's only 45 minutes and to get two drinks and a few snacks, did you feel like you were just like necking it?
No. And this is what I've been hearing from people. So I don't know if we were just really lucky, but we didn't feel rushed at all. We were there. I tell you, actually, this is really bad, but we actually forgot about our reservation. We had stayed up for hours getting this reservation. Obviously, you know the drama with it. We were on there multiple days trying to get this reservation. Huge deal. We get the reservation. We're so excited. And we were in the Magic Kingdom on the 1st of September, you know, I think we just were taken away with it all and we completely forgot about our reservation. So I think it was about an hour afterwards, we were about to get on to Peter Pan's and it just suddenly come to me. I was like, the Beacon Barrel. And Nat was like, oh my gosh, how the hell have we forgotten about this? So then obviously we're marching from Peter Pan all the way over to the Beacon Barrel, trying to get through the crowds. Everyone must have thought, God, they're really on a mission. And then we got there. And again, obviously, we're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I'm thinking, it's a brand new bar. They're going to be so busy. And I was just thinking the whole way there, I'm going to be devastated if we don't get to do this. And they let us in, thank goodness. Aww. So that was really lucky. And then again, obviously, we were sat in a really good place. And no, we didn't feel rushed at all. I think I don't want to say this because I don't want to get people's hopes up, but we were in there for over 45 minutes. I think we were in there for not much longer, like an hour. But I think obviously then that was long enough to drink your drinks and not feel like you're down.
Yeah. I'm thinking they probably say 45 minutes, but I'm guessing if you're still finishing a drink, you know, if you're going to be there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, then they'll kick you out. But I think an hour is probably, I think there's probably got a bit of leniency. And it's good that you've got a table in the middle because there's a lot going on that every 5-10 minutes, there's something happening. But because where I was sat when I went, we were literally right at the back, right in the corner, and my back was to it. And we had a little booth that we were sharing with another family. So I couldn't really get out to see what was going on. It was great walking through it and walking in. The detail and the way they've done it, I thought was fantastic, what they put into it.
Yeah.
And the menu did look quite interesting, but because I was going to GO82 the following night and I wanted an expensive cocktail, I thought I'd justify that. I haven't been the cheapest in there.
So. Yeah, that was a good idea. I think that's probably what made it. I think we were right in front of the bar, not at the bar, but the tables in front of the bar. And like I say, our server was just amazing. And even in the storms, we were sitting there, he's behind me, and the storm started and my chair started literally rocking. And I was like, I thought, oh my God. God, they must have put a lot of money into this. I'm thinking these effects are amazing. My chair's moving. Anyway, obviously, then I've realised it's literally the server like shaking my chair.
All right.
So Nat was cracking up at me because I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing.
But it was too many cocktails.
I think it was. I think we were just, after hearing everyone else's stories, I do feel like we had a really like lucky experience.
Yeah, it is great. And the servers are brilliant. We had she was very salty, was our
oh,
server.
Oh, really?
She was quite the cast member. Yeah, she was really funny. Really
They're
good.
So in character, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they keep it. They keep it in character the whole time. Any other highlights from the trip that you've just got back from? Because that was just this summer, wasn't it?
Another highlight, I would say, is meeting Mickey Mouse. And I'm not usually big on the character meets because I'm there for the rides, the atmosphere, the food, the drinks. I don't usually do the character meets. But it was our first day there and we started with Epcot because that's just my tradition. That's what I've done when the first time we went and that's what I've done ever since. So we're in Epcot and it was a 5-minute wait to see Mickey Mouse. I was like, let's just get some photos. So we went in, you know, when you just get a vibe and it just feels really special. And I think as well, because it was our first day, it's just everything. But he gave me a hug and I just felt really emotional. But then he hugged my other half, Nat. And Nat's never been to Disney World before. So this was her first trip.
Right. Okay.
But Nat's always wanted to go her whole life. You know, it's something that her and her sister would always talk to her dad about, but they never got to go. So this was their first time. And I watched her hug Mickey Mouse. And you know, when you're just all these emotions, this trip was like a really big trip for us. We went away for 3 weeks and we booked it well over a year in advance. We'd saved really hard and a lot of hard work had gone into this trip. And I think it was just that moment like, oh my gosh, we're here, you know? And this, obviously, so then I've started crying and I've said to Mickey, because I'm feeling, you know, slightly embarrassed. I'm a grown woman crying in front of Mickey now. And I was like, oh my gosh, Mickey, I'm really sorry. You've just got me there. And I said basically what I've just said to you, to Mickey. And then he was like, he put his hands up and basically, you know, he's like pointing like, 1 minute, 1 minute. So he's gone to the cupboard in the room and he's like getting all these bits out on the floor. I'm thinking, what is Mickey doing? So he comes back and he's got some paper and some pens and he kind of goes round the corner and he's like signalling to us to like not look. So we're like, okay, Mickey, we're not looking. And then he wrote both of us a note each and one of them just said like, you are magical, and the other one said, oh gosh, something like don't stop believing in yourself or something like that. And it was just really like, I don't know, I've just never had an experience like that with any of the character meets before. He really just took his time with us and, you know, gave us just really tight hugs and it just felt really special. And then now obviously we've got these notes to keep forever.
Yeah.
That's literally written by Mickey Mouse.
So what planning did you put in if you said your other half, she'd never been before, but she always wanted to go? You didn't have to push her into going.
No.
You didn't have to convince her. She was well up for it.
Yeah, but I did think, so we've only been together 2 and a bit years, so I did think this is going to make or break our relationship, because if you don't love it as much as I do, we might have a problem.
Yeah, you're gone. Because I'm not giving up Disney.
No, I'll give up a lot of things, but Disney is not one. So planning, I'm always the planner. Nat just goes along with whatever I say, really, so I'm quite lucky there.
That's good, that as long as she does go along with it and like, yeah, when you go, well, we'll be up at 5:30 and we'll be getting the bus at 6 and go, okay, yeah, as long as she sticks with that, that's fine.
Yeah, she's all for it.
Good.
So my planning strategy with Disney is usually spreadsheets. I am a severe planner, which actually is how I found your podcast, Andy.
Oh, how? Just out of interest.
That was about 2022.
Yeah.
And because that's when we last went. And planning for a trip. And I think I was just searching on Google, you know, Disney YouTube and Disney podcasts and anything Disney for research. And then that's when you come up. And then that's how long I've listened to.
I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just, start my spreadsheets. I usually work out where we're going to be by each day. And then I go from there. So I know a lot of people say you should do your reservations first, but I find it easier to choose where you want to go each day. And then you know when to look for the reservation.
Yeah.
I find it easier doing it that way. And then I would say once we have a trip booked, I will be doing research every day.
That's part of it. That's part of the fun, I think, of the holiday. You can make the holiday really stretch out all year round if you want to.
Oh, my gosh. And I think I actually love that just as much.
Yeah.
I'm a planner anyway, so I love anything like that. But when it comes to Disney, oh, I'm all over it. Like, so this time we had the quick service dining plan. So we stayed at Coronado Springs. And it's when the offer was on for the free quick service dining plan. So we got that with our trip. So I literally made an A5 sheet for each park, as well as Disney Springs, with a list of all of the places that would accept our quick service dining plan.
And then I
edited them so that they were in the theming of each park, and then laminated them, and I had them in... Yeah, this is how serious it gets, Andy. Then I had them in our park bag so that we didn't have to constantly be on our phone. So when we wanted to choose somewhere we wanted to eat, we could just whip out the little laminated sheet. It's not going to get damaged in the bag because it's laminated.
Yeah.
And look, flick through, and I'd done a little description under each one of what, you know, what their features were. And then it just made it easier to choose where we wanted to go to eat.
That's a great, especially with a quick service dining plan. You're not tied to having a dining reservation. You can just eat where you want, when you want. That's really good. And just a quick news update, a few things to let you know about. So next year is going to be the 250th anniversary of America. Yes, America celebrating a big anniversary next year. So Disney are doing quite a lot throughout next year. Some of it will start in November this year. Of course, the 4th of July, Independence Day, will be a big weekend. Usually there's big fireworks at Magic Kingdom on the 4th of July, and then sometimes the night or two before or after, depending on how the weekend falls. Well, next year for the 4th of July, they're going to do those special fireworks for 3 nights. So that's going to be a big weekend of big fireworks over at Magic Kingdom for the 4th of July next year for the 250th anniversary of America. And along with that, Soarin' is getting a bit of an update to celebrate all things from sea to shining sea. From summer next year, it'll be Soarin' across America. So no more wonky Eiffel Tower for the time being, as we'll soar across America. That starts in summer next year. And one other little thing to let you know about is that Ratatouille is getting a bit of an upgrade, or is it a downgrade? I'm not quite sure. It's going from 3D to 2D, so you won't need your 3D glasses from in a few weeks' time. So Ratatouille will be going down from the 10th of November, only for a few days while they do the upgrades. I think they'll be putting some more props in there as well. So like it runs in Paris, to be honest, it will be 2D Ratatouille from middle of next month. And if there's any news between now and the next podcast, it'll be on the socials. Make sure you're following us. Why are you not following us? We are at Pod Magical. Ella is with us on this episode of the podcast. Let's talk about some of your favourite things. So you've just come back. You had the quick service dining plan. So where were your favourite places to eat?
Favourite places to eat? I would say we really liked Sanaa. We went to Animal Kingdom, rope dropped. Well, we were going to rope drop Flight of Passage, but it was down, so we rope dropped the safari. And then we got the bus from Animal Kingdom to Sanaa at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And that is a brilliant quick service because I think, if I'm right, the lunch and dinner is a table service at the same restaurant, yes. But breakfast, they do it as a quick service. So you get to experience Sanaa, but on the quick service menu. And we always share so we can try more things. So we had the banana bread French toast and the eggs benedict there, and that was amazing. And obviously you can sit at the window, the animals are the other side. I would totally recommend anyone going over to there. We also really liked, we've done a couple of table services, and the Space 220 restaurant.
Yes
we loved it there.
Restaurant, or did you do the lounge?
We done the restaurant, and we done it for lunch, so it's a fixed menu. We didn't think it was too bad for what you got, because the food was amazing. And we had the shrimp tacos to start, and then the miso salmon dish, and that was sometimes I think with the restaurants like that, you book it and you're obviously paying for the atmosphere, which you obviously are,
yeah.
But then sometimes it means that the food slacken a little bit. But we really felt there that the food was just as good as the atmosphere, and you were just paying for the whole thing.
Yeah, I've not been there for a while. Last time I went, I just did the lounge because I did the restaurant, and I thought rather than being tied to the three courses, if you go to the lounge, I think you can still order off the same menu. But it's such a great experience up there.
Yeah, so that's another reason why we done the lunch menu, because it's only two courses then. So it's a starter and main, so it's not as much, which is obviously why the price is slightly less than dinner.
Yeah.
And then, because we had the quick service plan, we knew that we'd just be eating loads anyway. So we was mainly doing it for, I had done the Space 220 before, and I just remember it being so good. So I wanted to take that back.
And where else did you eat? Any other top restaurant recommendations?
We did try the Woody's Roundup Rodeo. Is that what it's called?
It's something like that.
That was really good. Again, an amazing experience. Nat rode a little horse to our table. And again, it's the whole atmosphere, isn't it? With Andy's coming and everyone plays their part. That was barbecue food. That was really good, actually. And you get everything included. Again, it's a fixed price. And for dessert, you get to choose one of the desserts. But our server brought us, bearing in mind it's all you can eat, so if you want more of something, you just ask for it, they'll bring it over, not a problem. But then at the end, our server brought us over one of every dessert to try.
As if you have much room to eat all that.
Yes, exactly. So I mean, the cast members out there, I don't think they get enough credit, do they? Because they really do make the magic happen.
They do.
So that was another great one. We done Ohana's for breakfast. That's, the only place you can get to meet Lilo and Stitch. So totally worth it. Again, food was incredible. You got sort of like gammon for breakfast, which I know sounds weird. And it had, I think it was put some sort of pineapple sauce on it. Mm-hmm. But it was really tasty. Really, really good. And then a couple of other quick services off the top of my head that's like standing out to me would be Satuli Canteen in Animal Kingdom, because you can get, I think they're basically like poke bowls, but they were just really, when you just fancy something a bit different out there because you've eaten a lot of chips, a lot of
fried things.
Yes, a lot of junk food. That was really, I think that was really good because it was like a bit of health.
Did you get the because with the dining plan, with the quick service, you can get an alcoholic beverage, can't you, if they serve it? Did you utilize that and get drunk in the morning?
Yes, we did. I think because it was free, we were not I know a lot of people do it, and then it's like, and I can't get my words out. I know a lot of people use the quick service dining plan to max out the value, and I can see that that's really easy to do because you're looking at the menu and thinking, oh well, I could get that and that would have been so much more. But I think because we got it for free, I kept saying, we just get what you want. If you want another Coke, just get a Coke. But we did use it a few times to get, and actually Satuli Canteen was one of the places. We got, they do a lot of beer offerings there. It's like a blue beer. So he was like, oh yes, let's try that. But we didn't really like it, to be honest. So,
Well, you didn't pay for it. So
yes, exactly.
What about favourite attractions? Have you got any particular favourite rides, attractions, shows, anything like that?
My absolute favourite ride is Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. I could go on that a million times a day. That was actually the first ride that I took Nat on. So she's never been to Disney World before. We've never been to a theme park or anything really together. And I always tell Nat that I don't like rides because I'm not a big roller coaster person.
Okay.
So it's like, like 7:30 in the morning, we're heading over to Epcot. Rope dropped Epcot, got her on Guardians of the Galaxy, and she got off and was like, what the hell was that? And what have I got myself in for the next 2 weeks?
Oh no, what a start to the trip.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's so good though, isn't it? And she was like, yeah, no, I loved it. So yeah, love Guardians. I really just, like I say, I'm at Disney for the atmosphere. So I just love, you know, the parades, the shows, the fireworks. This was actually my first time watching Fantasmic this year. And
right. You'd never seen it before.
I don't know. I don't know why. To be honest, I don't even think I knew it was there before.
It's kind of hidden away, you know, because it's like when the park's open during the day, you don't go past it. You go past that sign near Tower of Terror, but actually, if you don't know about it,
I've always just thought it was like just one of their billboards, you know, like the posters that they have up in Hollywood Studios. I just thought, oh, it's just, you know, one of them. But this is the first trip, what I would call an adult trip. So like I say, this trip was just Nat and I, whereas before my mum has always booked the trip. So I think that also did play a big part in my research, which I think is how I discovered Fantasmic. So then before I never would have looked into it before. Yeah. But Fantasmic, oh my gosh, Nat was obsessed.
It's not the most comfortable seat, but it's one of the best.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah, that was so good. We loved that.
And did you venture outside to any other parks or any other parts of Orlando, or you just stuck to the bubble?
We did go to Universal, which was my first time doing Universal. We've only ever done Disney before, mainly because, like I say, I'm not a big roller coaster person. But I say that, I think I've actually figured out that I do like roller coasters, but I only like the new ones.
The smoother ones.
Yeah, I don't like that, the feeling of, you know, the rickety track. But Universal, we actually was really impressed with. It exceeded my expectations. The whole time I was thinking, oh gosh, we've got to take time out of Disney to go to Universal. but no, I actually really loved it. A lot of their rides are like simulators.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously I'm fine with that. We didn't do any of the big rides.
Did you go to Epic or just the two original?
We did go to
Epic. So you did all three of the Universal parks?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about Epic Universe for a minute there. Yeah, Epic Universe, we were so excited to do because obviously brand new, had been watching all the hype over it. And I think we pretty much went on everything there, to be honest. The only thing we didn't get to do was the Donkey Kong one.
You didn't miss anything. It's really short.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like, did you do the werewolf one?
Yes, we did.
Did you think that was ridiculously short as well?
Yeah, a lot of them are quite short, aren't they?
I think that's why you did a lot in the day, because there's not a lot to do.
Yeah, I think as well, when we went, it rained all afternoon, and the only thing I would say with Epic is that because so many of their rides are outside, so many of them shut down when it rains.
Oh, yeah.
So we actually did end up leaving much earlier than, I think we ended up leaving at 4 or 5, so we didn't even do a whole day there because we were just waiting and waiting for things to open. We thought, well, we can't wait. We don't want to just sit here all day. So we didn't get to go on. I think it was that the Stardust Racers we didn't get to go on, which, to be honest, I don't think I would have liked.
That looks a bit scary for you, that one.
Yeah, I think it is. But no, I think is it called the Ministry of Magic? Is that
Harry Potter one? Yeah, the Paris one.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is incredible.
Did you think that was better than the other two Harry Potter rides at the other two Universal parks?
I don't think the ride was better, but I think you're queuing for the queue.
The land, the design of the land and the queue, which goes on forever, is incredible. But I think the ride itself is a bit of a, you could have done better.
Yeah, the queue was better than the ride for sure. But no, we did love Epic, and yeah, like I say, Universal did really surprise me, and I would definitely go back.
Okay. We're going back to Disney, though, now, because I'm going to give you your ideal Disney day. 24 hours in Walt Disney World to make up your perfect day, not your only day. How would you spend it? Talk me through it.
Okay. So I had two ideas for this day. The first idea was the ultimate dream and winning the sweepstake to stay in Cinderella's castle. and waking up in the sleep. But I've gone slightly more realistic with my ideal day. So my perfect Disney day would start at the Polly Tower with Jess, Nat and I. We'd done a DVC tour this year, and that resort is just stunning. Yeah. It's so, so beautiful. And the bath in the room that he showed us, oh my gosh, that room is a dream. You can see the castle from your room. You've got the most beautiful bath ever. I think in the future we're definitely going to want to be DVC members for sure.
Okay.
So I'd wake up there, open the curtains to see the castle, have a Joffrey's on the balcony with one of the American syrups that you can get in Walmart. And then, as this is my dream day, I think I would go for a VIP tour.
Okay, to do as much as you can.
Yeah, I just think that would be so cool with the private transport that gets you around the resort all day and the lightning lanes onto all your rides. I would definitely love to do one of them one day, just to see what it's like. So we'd head over to Animal Kingdom to start the day because they open up the earliest, and just go over there to ride Flight of Passage, because that ride, I think, is just an experience that I just wish everyone could experience once in their life. Then we'd literally just do that because time is of the essence, and then we'd head over to Hollywood Studios for breakfast and go to Fairfax Fair for Mickey Waffles and Mimosas.
We've done that down the bottom by Tower of Terror. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the vibe in Hollywood Studios. You get your little mimosa in the morning. You've got the music playing and Mickey Waffles. That's already a dream day there. And then we'd have to go and watch Walt Disney One Man's Dream, because that's the main reason why I love this place. And every time I watch that, I just think this trip is just incredible. So we'd go and watch that. And then we'd do a little loop. We'd do Toy Story Mania, Slinky Dog, Ride of the Resistance, and Mickey and Minnie's. So we'd do them rides in Hollywood Studios. I would do Tower of Terror again, but Nat didn't talk for me for about an hour after taking her on that. So we'd just skip that one for now.
So we don't mention that.
No, we don't mention Tower of Terror. Then next we'd go to Epcot, which is obviously my favourite park. And we'd go straight to Guardians of the Galaxy, and Disco Inferno would be playing because that's my favourite one. And then I would grab lunch in Mexico and do a quickish loop of World Showcase, ride Frozen on the way, grab some drinks as we go, especially the plum wine in China. That was delicious. I don't know if you've ever tried that, Andy.
I think I had a few years ago when I was drinking around the world. I think that was what I had there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I wasn't sure if I was going to, but actually that was really good. Then we'd ride Soarin', and then probably Guardians of the Galaxy again. Hopefully get September that time. And then we'd head back to the Polly Tower to watch the fireworks from the beach. We actually did do that on this trip. And we preferred watching the Magic Kingdom fireworks from the beach than actually in Magic Kingdom.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I just think it's such a good spot. You know, you're not crowded in. You're on the beach. I think that's amazing for a start. You can see the detail of the fireworks so much better. So some of the fireworks were like in shapes, like in hearts and things. And when we watched them right in front of the castle, we couldn't really see that. So yeah, and obviously they pump the music onto the beach as well, so you get the whole experience still.
Yeah.
And then as well, you can get a wine or a cocktail or whatever from I'm sure it's called Capt Cooks, I'm sure it's called in the Polly. And watch it with that. And then to finish the day, we'd get a boat from the Polly back over to the Magic Kingdom, ride Tron in the Dark, get our photos by the castle, one with Walt, one with Roy, and then back to the Polly for bed and maybe jump in the bath.
Yeah, why not, if it's such a good bath? Have you got any plans to go back soon? Have you started making plans? Is Nat up for going back again? That's the main question.
Yes, 100% Nat is back. I think it was day It was either day two or three of the trip, and Nat said to me about booking to go back next year. So I was like, oh, yes, we've won you over.
Got clearance.
Yes. So, yes, we will definitely be going back. I reckon we will end up going back next year, but we haven't actually got anything booked as of yet.
Not yet.
However, we are going to New York in December, and what I have been looking at is maybe extending our trip and getting a flight from New York to Disney World, maybe, like, even if it's just for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Just to, yeah, get back in the bubble for a little while. So, yeah, nothing actually planned as of yet, but we have actually started vlogging our trips. This was the first trip we vlogged.
Okay, where can we see that?
So we've set up our social media under Natella Adventures. So, like Nutella, but Natella.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the same. Yeah, so we've done that on YouTube, TikTok and Instagram and everything. And we've literally only just started doing that since we've been back. But from that, I have already met so many people from the Disney community and just had such a positive response from it that, we're already like, right, well, we need to go back and we need to start vlogging again.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, we will definitely be going back. Nothing booked yet, but we will be back soon.
Maybe Christmas, and then you could do Hollywood Studios, which is fabulous at Christmas, and you could meet Duffy at Jollywood Nights.
Oh, is he there?
He's there at Jollywood Nights, yeah. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I would love to do Disney World at Christmas. I bet that's magical.
Well, there you go, then. You can sort it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell Nat. Andy said.
Book it now. Go next week. Or it might be a bit early for Christmas, but like in a few weeks. Lovely chatting to you.
Andy.
And have a magical day.
Thank you so much, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again to Ella for sharing some Disney memories on this episode. If you would like to join me on the podcast, give me a shout. We might have room for one or two more guests before the year is out. So if you're just back from Disney or you just want to let it all out, I need somebody to talk to Disney World about. I'm your man. At Pod Magical on the socials is where we are. If you're going to go to Disney World this weekend, it's not a bad time because there's only going to be 4 hours' time difference. Reason being, if you're listening to this podcast as it goes out on the weekend of release, then the clocks here in the UK go back an hour this weekend. Clocks go back in the UK this weekend. They do not go back in America for another 2 weeks. So if you're going to go to Disney, you've only got 4 hours difference, which I don't might help a little bit with jet lag. Also worth knowing, if you have any business that needs doing over the next couple of weeks, whether it's booking lightning lanes or restaurant reservations, remember there's only 4 hours difference for the next couple of weeks. If you are going to be going, not a bad time of year. We're still actually in hurricane season, but it's kind of cooling down a little bit. The humidity, and it's been really humid this summer, is cooling down quite a lot. It's still Halloween for the next week and a bit. And then after that, it will be bumped straight into Christmas. So we've got Halloween parties at the Magic Kingdom. And then in a couple of weeks' time, I think it is the 7th and 8th that weekend, as the first weekend of Christmas parties at Magic Kingdom and Jollywood Nights over at Hollywood Studios. I think some of those have already sold out. I know the first ones have already sold out. It's still the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, the Eat to the Beat concert series. In fact, this weekend, Eat to the Beat concert series, you've got Smash Mouth. And then on Halloween night, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy are on. I'm not really sure who they are, but they sound like they're quite famous. They're on Halloween and the 1st of November, and then Boys to Men on the 2nd and 3rd. They are always really popular. So if there's anybody you want to see at the Eat to the Beat or any of the concert series that they have over at Epcot, you can do a dining package. You can pre-book those, or on the day, you can go to Regal Eagle. I think you need to be there when they open at about 11 a.m. and get that dining package. But that one, it's a bit hit and miss whether you're going to get it or not. Obviously, if you've got something like Boys to Men, it's going to be really popular. And a lot of people are going to want the concert series dining package, especially that Regal Eagle, where it's the cheapest. But you can only get that on the day. Don't forget, if you go in, tag us in your pictures at Pod Magical. Always like to end the podcast with a little bit of a tip. This one, I want to share with you something that I've learned myself this week. Now, I've got some points. Virgin, I'll tell you, it's Virgin. I've got points with Virgin. Now, I've been waiting to book for September. So now is kind of like the time to book for September. But the thing is, right, if you want to get low points, so I know that the day I want to go, but I can't book that yet because I need the date I want to return to come available. Well, I found out that booking with points, you can actually book one way with points and then in a couple of weeks' time, book the other way with points, and it actually doesn't cost any more. I always thought you ended up paying more in tax. Turns out you don't. I did the maths. So if there is a flight that you want to book, you don't need to wait for the return flight to become available. I don't know about BA or any of the others, but I know this through Virgin because I have literally just done it. So as soon as the points become available, that's when they're usually the cheapest until like last minute. And then that's the, if they're available. So I've spent 15,000 points to go to Orlando in September, just going one way for two people, which is not a lot. And then I think the tax was about £450. This is for economy. Obviously, if you're going in premium economy or business class, it's going to be a little bit more than that. So yeah, 15,000 points gets me to Orlando for two people. And then in probably about 10 days, when the return flight becomes available, the other points I've got left, hopefully I'm going to use another 15,000 to come back. I'll let you know on the next podcast. But yeah, I didn't know that. I've always been waiting for 2 weeks till my return flight becomes available and then finding that the initial flight that I wanted to fly out on, the points have gone up. So you don't need to do that anymore. If you have used this, or if I'm wrong, or if you can think of any other top tips for anything, whether it's flights or saving money or things to do at the park, do let me know. Then I can share them on the podcast. Or if you want to be a podcast guest, again, give me a shout. At Pod Magical is where we are on TikTok and Instagram and X and Facebook. And of course, you can listen to this podcast on YouTube. There's nothing to see, but a few shorts on there. But if you want to listen to the podcast and you want to get it with subtitles, a lot of people are doing that. We're on YouTube right now. And we'll be back with a brand new episode. Oh, the next episode in a couple of weeks is quite exciting. Got an exciting guest who is, well, you'll find out in 2 weeks' time. Hit that subscribe button, then you don't miss it. Back in 2 weeks. Until then, please stand clear of the doors.